What is death? For I am already being poured out as a drink offering. The time of my departure is at hand. I have fought the good fight. I have finished the race. I have kept the faith. Finally, there is laid up for me the crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, will give to me on that day. And not to me only, but also to all who have loved his appearing. It's good to see everyone out this morning. We have many to be praying for, much work to be doing. We need to keep praying that God will give us the strength and the ability to keep laboring here in his vineyard, and that he will bless us in our efforts. So I want us to consider, what is death this morning? Sometimes we might think, well, we ought to talk about something happy, something up. And I think sometimes we don't talk enough about death. It's something that's going to happen to all of us, but we live in a society where people think that they are going to live forever, but we know that's not true. And even when people die, the last several years, it seems like they don't want to talk about someone dying, but we're going to have a celebration of life. Let's celebrate life. Let's celebrate life. Well, you take that mindset on one hand and you compare it to the other hand. We just had the greatest celebration of death here just a few minutes ago when Christ came and died for our sins. He paid the price that we could not pay. He was a ransom for our sins. That was a celebration of death. And friends, we need to consider death and what death is and what it is not. Death is not a means of converting a wicked person into a Christian. However we are when we die, that's what we're going to be for eternity. As one dies, so he is. Death is not the extinction of man, Luke 16:19 through 31. Both the good man and the bad man continued to live after death. It's not the end. Death is not the end. In Luke 16, verse 22, it came to pass that the beggar died and was carried by the angels into Abraham's bosom. The rich man also died and was buried. And he cried out and said, Father Abraham, have mercy on me. Send Lazarus that he may dip the tip of his finger in water and cool my tongue, for I am tormented in this flame. But Abraham said, Son, remember that thou in thy lifetime receivest thy good things, and likewise Lazarus evil things. But now he is comforted, and thou art tormented. And beside all this, between us and you, there is a great gulf fixed, so that they which would pass from hence to you cannot, neither can they pass to us that would come from thence. Then he said, I pray thee therefore, Father, that thou wouldest send him to my father's house, for I have five brethren, that he may testify unto them, lest they also come into this place of torment. Abraham said unto him, They have Moses and the prophets. Let them hear them. And he said, No, Father Abraham, but if one went to them from the dead, they will repent. And he said unto him, If they did not hear Moses and the prophets, neither will they be persuaded that one rose from the dead. So from these verses, again, we see that death is not a means of converting someone. However we are in this life is what we are going to be when we die. It's not the extinction of man. Our soul is going to continue. This fleshly body will not, but our soul, our spirit, is eternal. And we see that when we die, we go to this place referred to as Hades, or Sheol in the Hebrew. We also recognize that there is a great gulf that is fixed, where the rich man and Lazarus could not come together. The rich man was, or Lazarus was in paradise. The rich man was in torment. And one cannot go from one to the other. However we die, that's how we are going to be. However we are, there's no gospel of second chances. We only have one chance to get our life right. What is death? Death is an appointment that God has made for us. Hebrews 9:27. And as it is appointed for men to die once, but after this, the judgment. We all understand what appointments are. Sometimes we make them, we have to break them, we have to reschedule them. But friends, God is going to keep his appointments. And as it is appointed for man to die, but after this, the judgment, we are not going to escape that appointment. We're just pilgrims on this earth. We're just passing through. In Hebrews 11:13, these all died in faith, not having received the promises, but having seen them afar off, were assured of them, embraced them, and confessed that they were strangers and pilgrims on the earth. So, again, we see so many people that they think that they're going to live forever. They make plans as if they are going to live forever. They get into debt as if they are going to live forever. And they don't think about what they're going to leave in regards to that when their life is over. They put their roots down deep into this world, because they think they're going to live forever. Friends, there's nothing wrong with having things, nothing wrong with buying things, but we should not let our things consume us. We're just passing through. Death is both certain and uncertain. It's certain to come. Genesis 3:3, but of the fruit of the tree which is in the midst of the garden, God has said, you shall not eat it, nor shall you touch it, lest you die. So just as sure as we are sitting here, at some point we are going to die. What is uncertain is the time that that is going to happen. James writes in James chapter 4 and verse 14, whereas you do not know what will happen tomorrow, for what is your life? It's even a vapor that appears for a little time and then vanishes away. And this aspect of we're here for just a little time and then vanishes away. I think the older we get, the more we can appreciate that. And like yesterday morning, I went outside and I came in and I told Carol that mist, that fog is so neat. It just covered the woods out there. But before you know it, it was gone. It was gone. You look through photo albums, family albums, and you look at the people in those pictures that are no longer with us. They're gone. You talk about events that are happening. Friday night, we went to our grandson's graduation ceremony, and I told Carol, it was just yesterday that Lee graduated. Time just goes so fast. And you think of everything. Time is uncertain. What is your life? It's even a vapor that appears for a little time and then vanishes away. But what do? We get so caught up in life. We get so caught up in what I want to do for myself, what I want to accomplish, how much money I want to get, how high I want to climb the ladder. And then, like the rich fool, God could say, it's your time now. Death is the end of labors that will be rewarded. So once we die, we are going to be rewarded for what we have done in this life. Jesus said in John chapter 9, I must work the works of him who sent me. While it is day, the night is coming, when no one can work. That's why when in class I was talking about following Jesus, And when's the time to do that? The time is now. When is the time to do the work? The time to do the work is now. The night's coming when no one can work. The rich man waited too late. Luke 16:26. And besides all this, between us and you, there is a great gulf fixed, so that those who want to pass from here to you cannot, nor can those from here, from there, pass to us. And you know, we think and we plan and we hope and we think what we want to do, how we want our life to be. But friends, once we take that last breath, we can't change a thing. And we can't afford to wait too late. Death is a state over which the Lord has power. The Lord is going to raise the dead. 1 Corinthians 15, you stop and think about the power of Christ, how he rose from the dead. And when we look at 1 Corinthians 15, verse 50, now this I say, brethren, that flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God, nor does corruption inherit incorruption. But I tell you a mystery. We shall not all sleep, but we shall all be changed. In a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trumpet, for the trumpet will sound, the dead will be raised incorruptible, and we shall be changed. For this corruptible must put on incorruption, and this mortal must put on immortality. So when this corruptible has put on incorruption, and this mortal has put on immortality, then shall be brought to pass the saying that it is written, death is swallowed up in victory. O death, where is your sting? O Hades, where is your victory? The sting of death is sin, and the strength of sin is the law. But thanks be to God, who gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Therefore, my beloved brethren, be steadfast, immovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, knowing that your labor is not in vain in the Lord. You see, we are going to be rewarded for our work in the Lord. And that's why we should not lose heart. He doesn't say you're going to be rewarded for what you have accomplished. You're not going to be rewarded for how many souls you've saved. He says, be steadfast, immovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, knowing that your labor is not in vain. And again, there's no do-overs. When we take that last breath, that's the end. The Lord's going to raise the dead, though. John 5:28, do not marvel at this, for the hour is coming in which all who are in the graves will hear his voice. None of us are going to escape it. And come forth, those who have done good to the resurrection of life, those who have done evil to the resurrection of condemnation. And you think about this back in Genesis, when God said, let there be light. And there was light. And you see the power in the word. You see the power in light. Do not marvel at this, for the hour is coming in which all who are in the graves will hear his voice. You think about when Christ says, come forth. You think of the power in that. And you think of the billions and billions and billions and billions and billions of people that have lived already. They're going to come forth. And I find it interesting, just the way people play with words and try to get people to think a certain way and talk about the earth coming to an end. You know, the earth is, and they've been saying that for years, but now it's a different thing is going to cause the earth to end before you know it. But we don't know how long God's going to let the earth stand. The earth could stand thousands and thousands and thousands of years longer. We don't know. But we know that when we die and Christ comes back and he says, arise or come forth, we are all going to come out of the grave. 1 Thessalonians 4:16. For the Lord himself will descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of an archangel, and with the trumpet of God, and the dead in Christ will rise first. We see that death is the last enemy of man to be conquered by the Lord. So death is spoken of as an enemy, different enemies. In 1 Corinthians 15:25, he must reign until he has put all enemies under his feet. The last enemy that will be destroyed is death. Well, death is a departure. I'm, as we read in 2 Timothy 4:6, I'm already being poured out as a drink offering. The time of my departure is at hand. I fought a good fight. I finished the race. I have kept the faith. Finally, there's laid up for me the crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, will give to me on that day, and not to me only, but also to all who have loved his appearing. So death is a departure. A lot of people fear death. A lot of people say they don't want to die. But you just think of some of the different terminology. You know, you hear people talk about flying somewhere, and I can't wait to get on my vacation, and I'm going to fly here, I'm going to fly there. When you go into the airport, what's that big sign say? It says departures. And people look forward to departing and going somewhere. Then you look on social media and they'll have this little map showing where I left here and I'm here and I'm going here and I'm departing from here and I'm going there. People love to go on cruises, and nothing wrong with either of these. But it's interesting, the attitude, I can't wait till I go on my cruise. I'm going to depart from this place. I'm going to depart at this time. And I just can't wait. Well, death is a departure. But we don't think of it in a positive way. We should, as a Christian, as a child of God, we should think of it in a positive way. And death is a departure from the world. Ecclesiastes 12:5. Also, they are afraid of height and of tares in the way. When the almond tree blossoms, the grasshopper is a burden, and the desire fails. For man goes to his eternal home, and the mourners go about the streets. The writer talking about when we get older and our life changes. I think all of us, except a couple here, can relate to that. You change when you get older. And we're getting ready to go to our eternal home. Then the dust will return to the earth as it was given, and the spirit will return to God who gave it. You see, death is a departure from the body. We're leaving, it's a departure from this world. It's also a departure from this body. Our spirit is going to go back to God, the one that gave it to us. James 2:26, for as the body without the spirit is dead, so faith without works is dead. And you stop and you think about this. Sometimes we use the word creepy. You go to a viewing and you see this body laying there, and somebody says, that just looks creepy. And we understand the thought they are trying to get across. That looks creepy because it's just an empty body that's been covered with makeup and dressed to bring to your memory that person that was alive. For as the body without the spirit is dead, it's interesting that James uses that comparison about our faith. So faith without works is dead. That's creepy. To say we have faith and we don't do any works, that's not real. So death serves as transportation, an exit from this world and an entrance into another world. Genesis 35 and verse 16, then they journeyed from Bethel And when there is but a little distance to go to Ephrath, Rachel labored in childbirth, and she had hard labor. Now it came to pass, when she was in hard labor, that the midwife said to her, "Do not fear, you will have this son also." Verse 18, "And so it was, as her soul was departing, for she died." See, death is a departure. And it's our soul that departs from our body. So Rachel died and was buried on the way to Ephrath, that is Bethlehem. See, it's necessary to put off this physical body of flesh and blood. Back to 1 Corinthians 15:50. "This I say, brethren, that the flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God, nor does corruption inherit incorruption. Behold, I tell you a mystery. We shall not all sleep, but we shall all be changed in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye. At the last trumpet, the trumpet will sound, the dead will be raised incorruptible, and we shall be changed." How fast is the twinkling of an eye? How fast is it when you blink? It's all going to happen just like that. The corruptible must put on incorruption, the mortal immortality. So when corruption is put on incorruption, this mortal has put on immortality, then shall be brought to pass the saying that is written, "Death is swallowed up in victory." How long is that going to take? Just the blink of an eye, the twinkling of an eye, all of this is going to happen. All of this is going to happen. But thanks be to God who gives us victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Therefore, my beloved, be steadfast, immovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, knowing that your labor is not in vain. Because of this celebration of death that we partook of this morning, we can celebrate our death when we die in the Lord, and we know that we are going to have that reward waiting for us. So a lot of people, when someone dies, they talk about that was such a loss. You see some of these shows with these people that are so gifted, so talented, they can do so much. They're like super people, and then they die at an early age. And we think, that was such a loss. We shouldn't think of death as a loss. We should think of death as gain. Death is designed to be gain. Philippians 1:21, Paul said, "For to me to live is Christ, and to die is gain." You see, people think it's a loss because they have their heart attached to the things in this world. We need to have our heart attached to the things above and to our Heavenly Father. Death is an emancipation for the righteous. Hebrews 4, verse 1. It's rest from our labors. Therefore, since the promise remains of entering his rest, let us fear lest any of you seem to have come short of it. For indeed, the gospel was preached to us as well as to them, but the word which they heard did not profit them, not being mixed with faith those who heard it. For we who have believed do enter that rest. As he has said, "So I swore in my wrath, they shall not enter my rest, although the works were finished from the foundation of the world." For he has spoken of a certain place of the seventh day in this way, "And God rested on the seventh day from all his works, and again in this place, they shall not enter my rest." Since therefore it remains that some must enter it, and those whom it was first preached did not enter because of disobedience. And who's he talking about there? All the Israelites that did not enter into the rest in Canaan because of their unbelief. Verse 7 again, he designates a certain day, saying in David, "Today, after such a long time, as it has been said, today, if you will hear his voice, do not harden your hearts." Friends, we should all look forward to that rest. That rest that is waiting for us, We will not have to fight sin. There will not be the problems of this world. A rest. For if Joshua had given them rest, then he could not afterward have spoken of another day. There remains therefore a rest for the people of God. For he who has entered his rest has himself also ceased from his works, as God did from his. Let us therefore be diligent to enter that rest, lest anyone fall according to the same example of disobedience. See, the Israelites had weak faith. They weren't willing to do what needed to be done to enter into Canaan. We've got to make sure that we do not have weak faith. We have that strong faith. We don't have that jello faith like we were talking about in class, or that wishy-washy faith. We've got to set our face steadfastly on heaven, just like Jesus set his face steadfastly on Jerusalem and made it his purpose and yearn to go there to be with the Father, to be reunited with the Father. You think about heaven. There's no pain, no sorrow, no death, no tears. Those former things, they've all passed away. Revelation 21:4, and God himself will wipe away every tear from their eyes. There shall be no more death, nor sorrow, nor crying. There shall be no more pain, for the former things have passed away. Who would not want to go to heaven? But we can't get there unless we die. And we can't get to heaven unless we die in the Lord. It's not enough to want to be there in a situation like this, where it will be bliss forever. No more death, sorrow, nor crying, no more pain. All of that's passed away. It won't even be a memory for us. For those in torment, it will be. Death is not the end of man's influence. Revelation 14:13, then I heard a voice from heaven saying to me, write, blessed are the dead who die in the Lord from now on. Yes, says the Spirit, that they may rest from their labors and their works follow them. See, we will stop working, but we will rest from our labors, but our works will follow them. Again, we just had a sermon on good works, all of those things that we should be doing for the Lord. What is death? Death is sure. Psalm 90, verse 10, the days of our lives are 70 years. And if by reason of strength they are 80 years, yet their boast is only labor and sorrow, for it is soon cut off and we fly away. There's a time to our years, and even we know people that have lived longer, lived in their 90s, lived in their hundreds, but we see their bodies just going down because that's how God designed it. He didn't design this body for us to live forever in this body. Job 14, verse 1, man who is born of woman is of a few days and full of trouble. He comes forth like a flower and fades. He flees like a shadow and does not continue. Again, the quickness of life, the speed of life and death. Man's, we're born, it's a few days, those days are full of trouble. He comes forth like a flower, this beautiful flower. And then the next thing you know, it's this brown, withered flower that you want to go and pull out and toss away. He flees like a shadow and does not continue. But death is in the good interest of men. This earth is not man's eternal home, Ecclesiastes 12:7. In 2 Corinthians 5:1, we know that if our earthly house, this tent, this body, is destroyed. We have a building from God, a house, a body not made with hands, eternal in the heavens. So why should we be sad? It's like there's not many farmers around, but it's like you take an ear of corn and you shuck it, you pull that husk off, and then that exposes the ear of corn. And when we die, that's what it's going to be like with us. This body, this physical body, is cast aside, and our spirit comes forth. These bodies are not adapted for heaven. Flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God. We saw that in 1 Corinthians chapter 15. He's going to give us a new body like his own. Philippians 3:20, for our citizenship is in heaven, from which we also eagerly wait for the Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. And again, we have to ask ourselves, are we eagerly waiting for him? Are we even thinking about him coming back? Are we hoping he has forgotten about coming back so we can keep on enjoying this world? Our citizenship is in heaven, from which we also eagerly wait for the Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, who will transform our lowly body that it may be conformed to his glorious body, according to the working by which he is able even to subdue all things to himself. So this back to the story of the rich man and Lazarus. Rich man wanted to go to heaven, but waited too late to make the preparation. Rich man wanted to become a soul winner, but he waited too late. Can't you send somebody back and tell my brothers? It's too late. He waited too late to hear and obey God's word. Now, today, are great words in the Bible. 2 Corinthians 6:2, for he says, in an acceptable time I have heard you, and in the day of salvation I have helped you. Behold, now is the accepted time. Behold, now is the day of salvation. So let us perform our duties now before time runs out. Psalm 116:15, precious in the sight of the Lord is the death of his saints. If we die, that's precious. People in the world is not always that way. Everyone who lived and died on this earth is now in Hades and awaits God's judgment according to their works. Revelation 20:12. You hear people talk about their relatives being up in heaven doing this and that, and friends, I just don't see from reading the Bible where we can come up with that. And the Bible is the only way that we can understand what's going to happen about life, about death, the judgment, and what's going to follow. So Revelation 20, verse 11. Then I saw a great white throne, and him who sat on it, from whose face the earth and heaven fled away. And there was found no place for them. And I saw the dead, small and great, standing before God, and books were opened, and another book was opened, which is the book of life. And the dead were judged according to their works by the things which were written in the books. The sea gave up the dead who were in it, and death and Hades delivered up the dead who were in them, and they were judged, each one according to his works. Then death and Hades were cast into the lake of fire. This is the second death. And anyone not found in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire. The question then, what is death? The question then is, are we ready for death? And how will we leave this world? How will you leave this world? Will you be like Lazarus and carried by angels into paradise? Or will you be like the rich man? He died and he was buried. Friends, if there's anyone here this morning that isn't prepared for dying, isn't prepared for the judgment, if there's anyone that needs to make correction in your life, anyone that needs to be obedient to the gospel invitation, we invite you to come forward now as we stand and sing.